This morning we're primarily going to be looking at Psalm 78, also a little bit at Genesis 17, 7. For those of you who are guests today, this is a little bit different. My normal practice is to preach verse by verse, sometimes word by word or syllable by syllable through books of the Bible, and we have been going through the Gospel of John for the last 2 years. In just a few weeks, at the end of May, we will start the final chapter of John and we'll be finished. And then this summer, I'm going to give you a little preview here. This summer, we're going to work through the Old Testament book of Habakkuk. And then in the fall, we will work through the Paul's letter to the Galatians. So, excited about what we have coming. Today, really kind of part two to what I started last week, from one generation to another. Today, I'm going to talk about the church partnering with parents. The second time I was in Iraq and my tour of duty in Afghanistan, both times I was a part of infantry combat brigades that were there. And there's a little misconception about what most of our soldiers were doing in those two places. Our primary purpose, primary mission was not to fight the fights, was not to necessarily go get the bad guys all the time. Instead, we were there to partner with the Iraqis and with the Afghanis in what we called advise and assist brigades or advise and assist units. Essentially, we were coming alongside like-sized units, and we were training them to take control of their own country, to help in the mission. We were not there to fight the fight for them all the time. Sometimes it ended up that way. But we were there to help and to guide and assist. Now, frankly, sometimes I think raising children often feels like being in a battleground. Hello. Now, sometimes that's because, listen, now all of the young people are like, oh. Hang on a second. I got something for them too. Sometimes it's because our fallen nature is being rubbed like sandpaper against their fallen nature. It provides a friction that's strong enough to feel like your skin's being ripped off. But more often the war comes because Christian kids are more exposed to an ungodly culture than they are to a biblical worldview in their own home. And so this becomes a battleground. And the point of the sermon today is going to be simply this. You can hang everything else off of this hook. No one should ever fight this good fight alone. No parent should ever feel like they're fighting this fight alone. And so, what I'm proposing today is that as a church, we are to partner with parents in what I think may be the most difficult task in all of Christian ministry. And it's not difficult because kids are difficult. It's difficult because life is hard. And because we are sinful as parents and they are sinful as children. And so there is the clashing of two worlds that becomes a battleground often. And what I'm proposing today is that the church comes along to partner with parents. And when I say the church, if you are a parent right now, when I use the word church, I'm not excluding you. I'm not just saying that the church is here just to serve you and then you do nothing else. What I'm proposing today is that parents partner with other parents. That grandparents come alongside their grandchildren and those who are not your grandkids that now are your adopted spiritual grandchildren that you have oversight of because they are brothers and sisters in Christ in this church. I'm also reaching out to you who are single adults today. You play a huge role in this. We need you, not for babysitting. We need you as good Christian people to come alongside these kids and parents and grandparents as we make this journey all together. This is God's primary, normal means of grace for reaching the world, is the raising up of godly children. It was God's way in the Old Testament. It was God's way in the New Testament. It has been God's way throughout all the generations, from one generation to another. And so last week I talked about the responsibility of children, of parents. It is your responsibility, parents, to disciple, to evangelize, and to disciple your children. But how do you do that? How do you do that with a busy lifestyle? In fact, I'm going to use a word today, an insane busy lifestyle and schedule. How do you do that? Well, it is your responsibility, but I am saying today from this text that you should never fight it alone. Proverbs 22:6, one of those coffee mug scriptures, you know? I know you say, well, a coffee mug scripture, how do you get that whole thing around a coffee mug? Well, believe me, you're going to need that whole scripture and you'll need the coffee too. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. It's not a promise. It is a probability. It is something that you as parents are tasked with. This verse is speaking about spiritual development, of learning of and loving God. So while the Bible is absolutely clear that the responsibility for the spiritual development, that's that training part in Proverbs 22:6, train up a child. While you're responsible for that for your children, no Christian parent successfully trains their children and fights the battle alone. Whether it's a two-parent home or a one-parent home or grandparents who are raising their grandchildren, which we have a number of you in here that are faithfully and honorably doing that, should never fight alone. So it is the task of the church to partner with parents, not to take the role of discipling their children, of training children in the things of God. That is the parent's job. The church is to come alongside, to support, to supplement, to help, to undergird, to be like Aaron and Hur with the arms of Moses on the day of battle, to hold up their arms when the arms get weak. But the church is not just helpful. I don't want you just to think today of the church as just another helpful tool in the toolkit for you in assisting parents in getting the arrows in your quiver straight. The church is necessary. The church is essential for the Christian family and the raising of Christian godly offspring. The church is imperative. It's indispensable. The truth is that there are aspects about God, His covenants, His family, and of our faith that must be learned in the larger Christian community, even at a very young age. So how does the church walk side by side with parents through the minefields of raising godly children in a godless culture, how can the church act as an assistant advise team for the church? If you have one of your worship bulletins on the back, you have some notes there. Number one this morning, I want you to see that the church partners with parents by equipping them. By equipping them to be parents, by equipping them to be first and foremost, by equipping them to be godly people. That's what the church is supposed to do. We are to equip you. If you have your Bibles, turn over to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 11. You're familiar with these verses. The Apostle Paul says, "And he, being God, gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers. He gave the pastors at Arrow Heights Baptist Church. He gave the leaders at this church to equip the saints for or so that they can do the work of the ministry." For building up of the body of Christ. Now, I want you to listen as we read through the rest of these verses. It's very important because it uses the language of parents or of raising children. All right, so he's given pastors and leaders for the equipping of the saints so that the saints can do the work of the ministry. Now look at verse 13. "Until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God." Look, to mature manhood, or so that they can all grow up to be a full-grown man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children. Children are great, right? Well, thank you. Guy's really happy about his children. Children are great. Children are to be adored and to be loved and cared and to be guided and to be disciplined. Children are wonderful. Babies. Wow. Right? Babies are awesome. But babies aren't supposed to stay babies. If babies stay babies, there's something really wrong. And children, toddlers, if they remain toddlers, something has gone drastically off the rails. Same thing for teenagers. Eventually, we are to not be children anymore. That's what Paul is saying in verse 14 there, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves, and carried about by every wind of doctrine. See, Paul is talking about the primary importance of the church is of growing people into maturity. And he uses the example of being a parent to children. Verse 15, "Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ." So Paul took this very, very seriously. He's not just using this idea of children as an analogy for the church. He's saying literally we are to grow children up in the faith so that as they become adults, they will be fully functioning, full followers of Jesus Christ. That is your primary responsibility as a Christian parent. Not to prepare them for college, not to prepare them for their first job, not to finally kick them out of the nest and get them on their way. Our primary responsibility is to develop them spiritually so that they grow up loving God. That's our primary responsibility. And the church partners with parents, listen, by equipping parents. Israel took this very seriously as well. In Psalm 78, did you notice how many times as I read Psalm 78, I emphasized the words, their children? He wasn't talking about their own. He was talking about the children of everybody else and talking about how Israel is supposed to be involved in everybody else's children as well. It wasn't just their own, but the children of those around them and extended families within the tribes. Parents need help in spiritually developing their children. If there was one statement I thought there would be amens to that, that would be that one. Parents need help in developing their children spiritually. Not replacing. The church is not here to replace parents in that job, but to help. So what does the church do? I want you to listen clearly. We disciple parents. We disciple parents. We disciple adults. Listen, I know that many of you think, well, if I bring my children there to the church, they're going to be discipled. No, 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 no. We want you to bring your children here. And we are going to invest in your children. But the primary thing that we're getting at is to disciple you, parents, to invest in you. Because there is no one who has greater investment in the children, no more time with the children than you do. And so when you come, our primary thing, I just want you to get inside of our head, scary place, but get inside my head a bit here for a minute. What we are really seeking to do when you come to this place, we do Awanas, we do Sunday school, we do VBS and Kids Palooza and camps and all that kind of stuff. All of that is just a secondary hidden agenda that we really have. It's a secret thing that we've been pulling off for years. The truth is that we as a church want to disciple you, adults. Why? So that you can pass it to your children. We disciple adults. I know some of you often think, well, I don't really need that or I don't have time. But let me ask this. Does your children need it? Yes, absolutely. Your children need it. And your children need you to be discipled. So let me just throw some practical things here for you. This is why we do first groups, what we call first groups. For those of you who are visiting with us, we have a ministry we call first groups. It's very small little groups of 3, 4, 5 men, 3, 4, 5 women that gather together. And we teach skills. We teach you the skill of how to read the Bible. We use this method called the TAP method, T-A-P. It stands for what does it teach? How do I adjust my life to it? And how does it prepare me to share with another person? And then I've added another P, I call it double tap. On the end, how do I pray this scripture? We use that method. We just teach people a simple method of how to read the Bible. For those of you who have already learned TAP or we've discipled you in some way, maybe in one of our first groups, I'm going to let you in on a secret today. The reason why we've done that, we love you, but it's because we want you to rub off on your children. We want you to be able to pass that down to your children so that the next generation will learn to love the glories of God's word. And so we disciple. We disciple people in how to pray. So that you will love to speak to God. We disciple people in how to witness, how to share their testimony, how to serve in the church, how to give. We do all of these things so that you, in turn, can be the primary person who is investing this in the lives of your children. So I hope today that many of you will come to one of our pastors and say, okay, I need to be involved in a first group. If not for me, for my children, or my grandchildren, or for the other children that are in this room, so that you'll know what we're doing. Those are our first groups. Now, some of you have also heard of these things that we call comm groups or life groups, where families are gathering together, usually on Sunday nights, sometimes throughout the week. We gather together in people's homes in different places, and we're starting more and more of these comm groups all the time. And we're trying to make these groups multi-generational. If you want me to break that down, young couples with old couples and middle-aged couples and some children and some teenagers and some others who will come periodically involved in that, so we can make relationships with one another from one generation to another all the way down. We do this so you and your children can rub shoulders with every generation. We know that you young parents need to be around the older saints. Today's our senior adult day. Bless God for our older saints in this room. If you have white hair or no hair, or you dyed your hair today, then I want to personally say to you, we thank you for your faithfulness and your desire to follow the Lord. Listen, we know that not everything that's done in this church is exactly to your taste. I'm sorry, not a whole lot I can or will do about it. But our ultimate goal is for you to rub off the good parts, to rub off on our younger parents, because our parents need help. They need somebody to come alongside, and they're too afraid to ask. But everyone in here who has children or grandchildren, you know it's true. You need somebody to come alongside you. You need someone who's walked down the road a little bit to talk to you about walking down that road. And so we have these groups that gather together in homes. It's awesome. It's one of my most favorite things that we do. And we need you to be in one, so that you can be exposed to others and your children will be exposed to others of the faith. So we equip people in doing that. We equip people in doing our worship services. The way that we sing songs, the particular method that I use in preaching. And no, we don't do children's church. Here, look real close here, and let me say it again. No, we don't do worship, we don't do children's church. Why? Because, man, I can see a bunch of them. They're all over the place. We have kids everywhere in here. Because these children, they need to see their parents, and they need to see other people. They need to see grandparents, and they need to see their adopted grandparents and uncles and aunts in the faith in this church. They need to see them worshiping. They need to see them singing. They need to see them sitting still and reading the Bible and not being on your phone and listening and responding and giving and praying. They need to see all of those things. Somebody just turned their phone off. They need to see you do all of those things. One of the biggest reasons why church attendance is declining in America is because for the first 15, 18 years of kids' lives, we've segregated them from us. And then at 18 years old, we expect them to come in here and sit and be still and enjoy this. No, they've not been trained in how to do it. It's a hassle. Yes, I know. I know. For some of you, it is like wrestling a goat in the pew. I got it. But I got to be honest with you, it doesn't bother me. So if you think it bothers me while I'm preaching, it doesn't. I'm oblivious to it. I'm louder than they are most of the time, right? It's okay. And if the person next to you, if they're all freaked out about it, they'll leave. It's okay. You laughed, I didn't. I tell you what, it is a hassle, but it is less of a hassle now if we stick them than if we stick them off in a corner now, and in 20 years we bring them back and try to get them used to coming to church. All these things that we do are not just spiritual activities for adults. First groups, comm groups, worship services, Sunday school, all of these things that we do, they have a purpose, and they are equipping you to raise your children in a home with a biblical worldview that will help them survive spiritually in a godless culture. So we want to equip you. We want to equip you so that you'll have confidence in God, so that you can persevere through this journey, so you will be encouraged when life is challenging, so you can pass on spiritual skills to your children, and so you can keep God at the center of your home and of your parenting. So the church first partners with parents by equipping them, Second, the church partners with parents by resourcing them. We want to provide you with good resources. We want to provide you with quality Christian stuff so that you can navigate your children through life for the glory of God. And we know that you're busy. In fact, we know that you're too busy. We're thankful if you're just able to read the Bible every day. But we know that you're too busy to check out everything that's out there about parenting, to read everything or see everything or do everything, and so we want to help. So there's a lot of resources I want to talk about. I'm just going to talk about three resources that we want to help you with. Parents, grandparents, all of us together as we partner. First of all, products. I couldn't find a more spiritual word, so I just went with products. Okay. There are good books that are out there about parenting, about how to raise your children. I mentioned last week by William Farley, the gospel-centered parenting. I've never read a better book about it. So we want to be able to provide you good books. We want to point you towards good videos, because we know that you're on your phone, your iPad, your computer a lot, and we know that a lot of people would rather watch a 5-minute video than read one chapter of a book. And so not only are we going to pass along videos to you, but we're also producing videos to help in this. And then maybe primarily right outside these doors back here, we have now what is called our Home Point Center. Home Point is a fully orbed ministry for children, parents, grandparents, in being able to provide you very quick, accessible resources about particular issues and opportunities that you are facing, so that you can look at it from a Christian biblical worldview, take the information, make decisions, and parent in a biblical way. We've introduced to you the Home Point app, and I think it's still inside there. If you have a smartphone and you want to use the Home Point app, you can log on and do that, and you'll always have it with you. It's just outstanding resources. So we want to give you good products. By the way, I also have to say, there's a lot of junk out there too. So you have to be discerning as you wade through. Just because it says it's Christian, or if it says Jesus on it, doesn't mean that it's necessarily really good stuff, okay? So we want to point you in that way. More important than products, though, are people. People. Your children need multiple contacts with great Christian people. Your young children need great contact, great interaction with other Christian grown-ups, other Christian adults, not just their Christian friends. It's wonderful. We want your kids to have good Christian friends at school, here at the church, people that they hang out with, people that they spend the night with, all that stuff. But your kids also need to have great interaction with other wonderful saints of God. And that's what we're trying to do in the church is to provide multiple avenues and opportunities so that we all come together multi-generationally so that there's that kind of wonderful interaction. We need to do it intentionally. Intentionally. Yesterday, I sent off one of my children with one of our dear saints in this church to do some work. I want my kids to work. But you know what was more important to me? That one of my children got to hang out with one of my favorite godly people in this church. That's what this is about. And by the way, we look for opportunities for that. You have to be intentional. By the way, you parents need to be around those folks also. Parents need the accumulated wisdom that can only be shared in the camaraderie of Christian fellowship. So there's products and there's people, but I have to say, by far, the most important research that the church, the resource that the church can provide you as we partner with you is the Bible. The most important parenting resource that you have is that leather-covered book in your lap. It is the Bible. The Bible needs to be the sun in your family's solar system. It needs to be the center point upon which everything intentionally, consciously, subconsciously, maybe even unconsciously, revolves around the Word of God. It reminds me of how Paul was talking to Timothy. Just turn in your Bible to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Paul encourages Timothy. Listen to him. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 14, he says, "By the Holy Spirit, who dwells within us, guard, set a guard over the tower of your heart. Guard the good deposit that has been entrusted to you." What is that good deposit? Look at chapter 3, verse 14. Paul says to him, "As for you, Timothy, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it." Anybody remember who Timothy learned it from? You can actually say it out loud to me if you want. Mother and grandmother. Mother and grandmother. Timothy did not have a believing father. And so from his mother and his grandmother, he learned these things. And Paul says, "As for you, continue in what you learned, knowing from who you learned it, and how from childhood you've been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus, because all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work." That's why we teach people to read the Bible. Because without the Bible, you cannot be saved. You can't know the gospel. And if you don't know the gospel, you will not go to heaven. If you can't understand the good news of Jesus Christ, that we are sinful human beings, depraved, lost, set apart from God on our own. But God so loved each and every one of us that although we were incapable of paying the price for our sins, God sent his son Jesus Christ, who lived a perfect life, died a tragic death, but God raised him from the grave on the third day, and he lives now, the Bible says, ever making intercession for the saints. And the Bible tells us that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It says that there is no other name given among men under heaven by which we must be saved but the name of Jesus. It says that every knee and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You can't know the gospel apart from the Bible. And guess who else can't know it? Your children. Mom and dads, it is your primary responsibility to evangelize and disciple your children. And the way that you must do that is the Bible, the Bible, the Bible. That's why Charlie Townsend developed the TAP method. That's why we use learning to follow Jesus as our curriculum, because it's all about the Bible. Teaching people how to read and understand the Bible. You know, it's one thing to be able to read the Bible. It's another thing to be able to understand the Bible. We want you to understand the Bible. And it's a skill that has to be taught, and you have to place yourself in the way in order to be able to do it. It's why we disciple adults. It's why I preach book by book through books of the Bible. It's why the most important thing that we do in Sunday school or vacation Bible school is not games or snacks or crafts. It is the Bible. You've heard me talk about this guy before, William Tyndale. He gave his life in 1535 because he translated the Bible into English when the King of England and the Pope of the Catholic Church said, refused to allow it. It had to be done in Latin, could not be given to people in their original language. So virtually nobody around the world was able to have the Bible because it was still being held in Latin, held hostage. Tyndale translated the Bible into English so that everyone could have the Word of God. When the people finally received the Bible in their own language in England, they rose up with one voice virtually and said, "We know that this word is from God, as we know that fire burns. Not because anyone has told us, but because a divine fire consumes our hearts." Tyndale's goal, his stated goal, was that a plowboy in England would know more of the scriptures than the Pope who had outlawed it. And that's exactly what began to happen. And today, it is still the scriptures that plow the hearts of our children, that furrow up the rocky ground, that plants the seed, that waters the earth, that grows into salvation, into a full follower of Christ. But it is imperative upon us as parents to make this book the center of family life. Not sports. I love sports. I love being an athlete. Still compete. Love doing it. But it can't be sports, folks. Here, let me say something else. It can't be sports. I love, love, love sports. I love it. Please don't send me emails today, okay? But I'm telling you, sports is going to send children to hell. Now, some people are going to say, "Oh, wait a minute, but you can learn such good lessons from sports." No, you can't. You can learn good lessons from good coaches and good parents. And there's nothing wrong with having sports in your kids' lives. Nothing wrong at all. Matter of fact, I think that there ought to be some people in our church that grow up and become professional athletes and tithe. And live good, godly lives. And I believe it happens all the time. But sports cannot be the center of your home. It can't. Neither can screen time. Oh, hello. I know. I know. Tell you the truth, not even homework. As important as it is, the center of our homes has to be, thus saith the Lord. It doesn't mean that you're sitting around, that's all you do all day, every day. It just means that everything needs to come back to it. Okay, the church partners with parents by equipping them and by resourcing them. We want to give you products and people, and we want to give you the scriptures. Finally, the church partners with parents by exalting Christ. Here's what I mean by it. The writer of the psalm says it, Psalm 78, look at verse 4. We will not hide from their children. We will not hide them from their children, meaning the sayings of the Lord. But we will tell to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and of his might and of the wonders that he has done. We will tell them. We will tell them of the greatness, the goodness of God. Listen, this is what I mean by the church is partnering with parents, by us, the church, exalting Jesus. When you come here, we are going to make much of Jesus. We're going to tell you that Jesus is great, that Jesus is awesome, that he's not someone to be feared. God is not someone to be terrified of, but God is someone that loves us and cares for you, and he has great grace and great mercy. Does he have wrath and judgment? Yes, he does. But he also has unbelievable mercy and grace for us. We will tell of, when you come here, we will tell of the sacrifice of Christ. We will speak of his great love for sinners. We'll talk about the transformation that is wrought to us by the Spirit of God. We will talk over and over and over until Jesus comes back. We'll talk about his death and his resurrection. We're going to make much of the Father, much of the Son, much of the Holy Spirit. We're going to show as grand this book, the Bible. There is no greater book than this. There is no book that even comes close to this. It's not about this book and, it is this book alone. We'll make much of the Bible. We'll make much of God's people, the church. On a day in which the church has gotten a bad rap and a bad reputation, largely to our own doing, we will never talk down the church. We will talk up the church. For this is God's family. God made it. God said, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. So don't talk against God's church. Speak about God's church. Speak of the love of God's church. And we'll continue to make much about God. Much about Jesus. Much about the gospel. Well, I need to be done today. But we're not done. We're not done because God is not done with us. All of these things must be modeled, because parents must point to children, must point children toward God as their greatest joy. We must point children to God as their greatest confidence, their greatest hope, their greatest satisfaction in all of life. And it has to be modeled by us, by parents, by grandparents, by the church. We have to model it for them that we trust in God, we love God, we make God the priority of our life. Your children must not be the priority of your life. Hello. I know it doesn't feel right even coming out of the mouth sometimes. Please listen to me, because this is incredibly dangerous. Your children must not be the priority of your life. if your children can see that you have made them the priority of your life, you are teaching them idolatry. Idolatry. And whatever you sow, you will reap. The priority of your life and the priority of the church must be Jesus. He's the only means of salvation. And without this, without parents passing that on to children, both parents and children waste their lives. So the church partners with parents by exalting Jesus. Whew. I've been nervous about these last 2 weeks, because I've never felt more conviction in my own life, you know. Parents need help. Right, parents? We need help. Parents need a break. Parents need encouragement. Parents really need prayer. The church cannot raise your children, parents. We can't. In fact, the church cannot even disciple your children. You must. But the church also cannot entertain your children or simply occupy them. Church, we need you. I speak for the parents in here, we need you. We need you to come alongside us, we need you to come alongside our children, and we need you to come alongside each other. We need you to step up, we need you to serve, we need you to give, we need you to come, we need you to encourage, and to intentionally invest for the glory of God and from one generation to another. Let's bow our heads today and close our eyes for just a moment as we pray. Today, perhaps you've heard the gospel for the very first time. You understand that the gospel is not just being raised in the church. It's not just coming to church or doing your Christian duty, doing religious things. The gospel is this, that you are a sinner that is set apart from God, because by nature we are all sinners. The Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But God sent his Son Jesus Christ to take our sin. He absorbed our sin for us. And perhaps today you need to come and confess Jesus as Lord, as Savior, as the Christ, and be saved. I'll be standing here at the front. If you need to come and confess Christ, when we stand and pray and sing in just a second, you can come to me, or the back doors will be open. If you don't want to come forward, you can go backward. You can go out into the foyer, and you could speak with one of our pastors, and they would love to share with you how you can know Christ. Perhaps maybe today as a parent, you just need to come and pray with somebody. This thing is hard. Children, I want all the children to just listen to me. You can even look at me. Children, I want to say something to you. You need to pray for your mom and dad. Okay? You need to pray for your parents. In fact, I'm going to tell you right now, I guarantee you this. Children, are you looking at me? Listen, I promise you this. You will get along with your parents much better if you'll start praying for them. I know right now, sometimes you don't even like them. It's all right. Sometimes they don't even like you. We love you dearly. And you know what? By far, the vast majority of the time, we would like to spend time with nobody else but you, our children. Children, pray for your parents, because they have a hard job. It's hard. It's difficult. And parents, pray for your children. So during the invitation, maybe you need to come. Maybe parents and children need to come and kneel at the altar together and pray. Maybe parents, you need to recommit your life to the Lord today. Whatever it is, whatever the Lord's moving on you today, Would you not wait for one more minute, not another second? Father, thank you for your word. Holy Spirit, move upon us now. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand together for just a few short minutes of invitation.